Right, the poem I'm going to read for you this evening, I chose this because we're coming up to Lull Reader, so we have St. Bridget's Day on Wednesday, and this poem is called Freya, and it is, I suppose, as inspiration I've used the story of the goddess Freya, but really what I'm doing is celebrating someone I know who in her own way is a goddess. Freya. I saw the sun's disc throw slatted light on towels you left on the bathroom floor, the shower wheelchair dripping on black garbage sacks. I heard the motors purr, its smooth glide along the hallway, the neighbour's blue-eyed cat rubbing its sleek coat against the open doorway entered before you. And on your lap, grape hyacinth and daffodils barely opened, the spring's first offerings. You pushed the flowers on the windowsill, and as you made a perfect turn, spokes became golden. Your restlessness, sleepless nights, endless counting of stars, all those moons, shadowed for a moment by the sun, amber like bolts of fire around your neck, a goddess guiding your chariot through all your battles. Host to the fallen, protected by your feather cloak, you shifted shape, flying like a falcon in dreams.
Thank you. And then next we have Jackie Corcoran.
Lots of political chaos around us at the moment, and I think this poem is quite self-explanatory in the context of decisions made in the past couple of days. Aleppo. We hadn't lit the cottage stove in months, a year perhaps. How long the starling had been there, who knows? And long since dead, of course, the wretched thing. Lighter than the weight of any bird, she lay on long cold ashes like a nesting hen, feathers intact, insides empty, a small paper lantern. Who knows how long she flew about in there, flinging herself against walls, unable to find a way to fly back up the flue she had descended. How long before she drifted, weight uplifting from her body, balloon-like, feather-light, and settling down. Perhaps for the longest time she lay there, eyelids slowly blinking, holding her brittle self aloft. Sometimes she might have glimpsed up to a stroke of bluish light, until a splintered bone or gravity pushed her head, dipped her fine beak, eye deep, extinguished in a trough of dust.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Next we have Mags Creedon.
This is a small audience, right, so I'll try it out. I was asked to, I did do Byron sketches, and the librarian asked me to do an exhibition out of my Byron sketch. And I said, well, when I'm doing an exhibition, I do my poem songs. So I did a performance, the culture night, and I wrote a little poem for a bookmark for them. And I can't remember the poem, but it started with, it was for Frank O'Connor. She just said, include work by Frank O'Connor. So there was a triple commission of some poem image, so I did it all. And the poem I wrote started with Each word has a sense of style, the luster of wit and the clarity of warm eyes. So what I did was know the songs, and she couldn't pick one, so I just did a medley for Frank O'Connor. That's okay?
It was a very industrious job.
When your daddy is a soldier, your mother's love is deep, that carries its own story. And a boy is never lonely when he looks inside his mind and dreams of all the things that he could be. Sings his own songs and rents his own tunes. Follows all the winds that he has blown. Watches his cap fly on the wall. That's the place where his love dreams lie for all. I kind of warm stairs for you. Would nothing here for me but words of love. So smart in the place where a little boy's face lights up with a dream for each nook and alcove. His cradle home has ever since born each story to the world. And now they'll come back again to learn the secret craft from him. And frankly speaking, let's be truthful, your name is really Michael. Honestly, we say to me that your true home is in the summer's hill. Love and beer and the beans. Promise me that we will see. We don't forget your legacy. This film of the shortest tales, Cork's favorite son of literature. Frankly, we are charmed. Each story has your charm. The last one was.
We all
want to
live, so
I'll
get
into
the house.
It's a light in the Douglas Street. At the budding of the trees in 1903. A journey of the Cork short story. Each morning when down by Shandon, where maybe dried her tears so you'd never dry them. She hid her tears. And you'd skip up the hill to the Lapmon. On those who carved her out, thought you like a summer's song. But soon you must make your own way home and fly far away to the Boston sun. Oh, it seems those slow-born eyes can still see. Your voice speaks not on Facebook clips, but just to me. The journey of the Cork short story. Anybody, Fletcher Davis?
Okay, that's it. That's it.
I met you in the library, Mags, when you were writing poems
by
Frank O'Connor, yeah?
You
yeah, so it's nice to hear some songs coming out of it.
There's a poem somewhere.
Yeah? Next up, we have Emily Davis Fletcher.
I don't think it deserves to be in a song. That's all I'm saying. But thank you.
Yes.
All right, this poem is called My Half of Night. I listen to crickets all night, like a lock on a box of secrets. On my right, books spread out in bed, your corners curling. I want to call you, uncover where your toes point now. A blue notebook touts five subjects, in place of your head tossing on the pillow. I asked what you were thinking once, feeling your heart slow to a circling hawk. You'll never get inside my head, you said. There's some poetry, self-help, feathered light in solid colors, a dictionary from 1971, reminds me of pedantic, the meaning I learned back at your bedsit a few hours after we met. A squiggle of tobacco on your bottom lip, hard cider on my breath. Old friend from far away is open, prompting me to write about my history with nuts. Oil from my hands leaves permanent shadows on pages, not like your body with my cuts on bone. Wherever you are, your half of night is sawed by jagged breathing. If you sleep on your good ear, we'll hear nothing when the lock breaks at dawn. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. It's Bernadette Gallagher next.
Sonnet to the White Park. Coming home from school in our summer dresses, we stop at the White Park to help or not balance sheaves of corn into stooks to dry standing up. Our interest held until a scythe cuts into the final corner, waiting for the corncrake escape. Stories pass from mouth to ear, father to daughter, to the sun a different tale. The grass lies wet and long, flattened by wind and rain. No children to come and help, no one to sow, cut and reap. Long dead now, or living a different kind of life. Words pass from mother to son in bites echoing of another world. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernadette. Next is Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Ben. I did this a few weeks ago, but it had to be updated. Guess who? The demagogues of ancient Greece were populist and loud. While flouting basic principles, they always pleased the crowd. This reality TV star stood waiting in the wings. From firing sad apprentices, he's moved to bigger things. Leaders campaign in poetry, but have to rule in prose. This one callously lambasted those who dared oppose. Obamacare was clobbered, climate change seen as a myth, and despite his age and hairstyle, he swears he'll never quit. Some thought his crazy promises would never be fulfilled. They hoped a pipeline would be stopped and no new oil wells drilled. But Dakota's access pipeline, desecrating sacred land, has now been reinstated through his latest contraband. Muslims he sees as miscreants and vows they'll be pursued, totally ignoring what the judges may conclude. His family has cushy jobs, and at his beck and call, He's taken steps to instigate the building of that wall. For many, his election was a total mystery. Should he ever press the button, we'll all be history. Thinking back on 9/11, it's a distressing sign to discover his election fell on 11/9. He has talked of waterboarding. That torture may come back, and heaven help those citizens who are Mexican or black. To Marine Le Pen and Putin, add in Nigel Farage, considered as his bosom pals. They're thrilled now he's in charge. Can America recover from erectile dysfunction? Or will the fight get stronger, or will the right get stronger and act without compunction? The motto of In God We Trust, the US rallying cry, is sadly, it sadly lost its impetus. No need to wonder why. That's it.
Thanks, Mary. Nice to have some cutting words. Next up is Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Ben. Mary suggested this for all the musicians. I want a dictionary for this one time, so I'm going home to look up erectile dysfunction. Jamming. Snare drums rattling, trombone zoom, tenor sax screaming, double bass boom, guitars twanging from electric heights, chimes still tinkle to muted lights, silver flutes tootle, percussions brush, clarinets warble to alto sax gush, trumpets calling, tambourines jing, hi-hat lifting to cowbells ring, the sirens blare, notes so shrill, harmonicas bleat to whistles trill, banjos rat-a-tat will curtly reply to conch shell echo of piccolo high, xylophones hit but tubas rude, bongos rhythm get in the mood, keyboards persisting, notes so brash, French horns burping, cymbals crash, oboes blending as fiddles in sync give jiving cats no time to think. Pig, that's jazz!
Brilliant, James. Next is Patricia Walsh.
This is called Hijack by Music. No reference to Mary Streeton by a chance. May the road ride to meet me, a cardboard salutation par excellence, a turf skirmish leading to redemption, saved only by a proper drink. A fitting job pleads for you alone, eating time-wise from a perfect application. Smooth criminalisation, a failure prohibited. A do as required, painted by flight. Music for sale cracks the situation. Vinyl resurrection, a prophecy given. Eventually, sated beyond recognition. Bloody out boredom, a given task. Bloody copy, painted in its origin. Prodigiously quaffed. And no one gets hurt. Pub interrogation at foreign canopy. As for me, I am already dead. Coming posted under a weight of failure. Gates of perdition under song of doggerel. Blanket music spots the tit. Festival posters, but burying the dawn chorus. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next is Mick Noonan.
And there was a bit in the paper recently that he turned 80 or something. I didn't see him play, but I kind of made this up in my own head. Still, it's so vivid in my memory. Mick O'Connell soaring skywards, picking that ball from a clutch of hands like some aerial gladiator of old. Opponents levelled like skittles on a bowling alley, hitting terra firma striding his out in open country. No one close enough to get a hand in him, a hop and a solo of the ground eaten up. A magnificent drive from the 45, the post bisected, a wizard at play. The schoolman is busy, Kerry 115, Cork 18. It looks like it's going to be Kerry's day. Little wonder, sure, isn't it in their DNA?
Thank you, Mick. Philip Spillan is next.
So Stanza's next poem theme is Sophie. And I was wondering, like, who would write a poem about Sophie? It's such a weird theme. But then straight away when I thought that, I actually remembered I wrote a poem about Sophie 2 years ago. So like, I sent it in anyway. This is actually from a collection called Personal Moon, and I read a few of them out here before, but they're satirical about the way we depend so much on technology and the internet today, this new culture that's been bedding up. And it's like part two, and so part two, falling selfies. Part two, falling selfies. Each failing selfie is a mask of happiness bliss, a calendar collection of smiling faces, each pixel a miss, a kiss, a cover-up of a flaw in the rising cheeks behind an excited, perfect smile. This is the loneliest man in his perfect perspective. His girlfriend wants an openness, to trust, to go slip through relationship silks. But he wants to be distracted by selfie projects and can't tell her he's failing. Social circles are calmer when two abreast, that are timed perfect. He freezes in front of a star sky, and the flow flies away like kites, and snaps that millisecond, advertising him in seconds. Thank you.
You should post that one on Facebook. Next is Molly Toomey.
Guardian, a baby born, tonsils torn out, a cyclops with forest nostrils in a Taekwondo coat, Bramley apples stewing, sprinkling sugar, Aga snuggles your half-moon shoulders, black coal in the crevices of your forehead, hair a maze of rollers and sweat, white beach chair, sandy cheese and onions, your thighs my throne, clap handies till daddy comes home. Gaze on me now, a stretched porcelain doll, still on a stand, staring and smiling, shatterable. Take me down, toughen me up. I will not be a statistic, a chart, other sick cattle at the mart. Double cream porridge, buttery mash, slab of beef, tell me I'm beautiful,
while you take on my beat. Thanks, Molly. Next is Alexis Campbell-Bannerman.
But I just want to say I really like my poem and stuff. I really like the poems that I've been reading out tonight. And I like Ben said something about openness in his poems, and I think I really love the openness of poems. And I think like there's so much in life that makes you close like a shellfish, you know. Like I really like poems, and poetry night makes me kind of open again. Anyway. Anyway, this poem's called Space Witch. Okay. I don't know how that has anything to do with what I just said.
Hey, try and tell us something.
Okay. Hello, Space Witch. Would you take me to the moon? I'll sit in the back just like a cat on a million-dollar euro rocket broom. Because with science and a bit of magic, I'll know you'll get us there. And women will no longer care for being fat because we are weightless in the air.
Thank you. Next is Chris Laverty.
Moonlight Hours. We'll no more pass the moonlight hours by the riverside. We'll show our silence as we stroll beneath the colonnade. We'll shelter take from sudden showers or watch the settling tide. We'll lie still when the moon is torn in some forgotten shade. Those tender days of light and shade, the fading summer stole. And so we'll no more pass the moonlight hours by the riverside.
Thanks for reading, Chris. Next up is Mary Nagel.
Fury. Do you know what it is to be wild? Bolt, blind, leave your body behind, so you can unite with a frenzy. You run to outstrip a raging black bear, till falling, lost, unaware. Then the show's over, and your sanity's demanding explanations. What happened there? Who was the bear? Why are you barefoot and bleeding? Then your sure self will surely falter, armed with only words.
Thanks, Mary. About the last line. Next is Doyle Harding.
Two kings. It's about the best hurler who ever played and the best cyclist who ever cycled. But I happened to see supposedly the best footballer who ever played, mentioned by Mick there, Mick O'Connell, when I was young. And my only memory of it is he's so frustrated, his cork marker, that he ran away from him. The complete length of the field, but the cork men after him trying to strangle him. He never caught up with him. There's two kings. Eddie Merckx was the greatest cyclist who ever cycled, and Chris Deering was the greatest hurler. And I never saw Eddie Merckx, but he did come to a little village in Tipperary called Carrick and Soar to pay homage to Sean Kelly about 20 years ago. I'm Sean Kelly's first sponsor, happened to be a fellow called Doyle Harding. Two kings. Eddie said I was the best of my time, but he wasn't. Just the best of all time. Merckx was a myth during his lifetime. They said he couldn't have done that. The ringer said, they must stop talking about me. Better hurlers will come. But they didn't. On high mountain or level field, each left all others hoping for the unattainable.
Thank you, Bill. Next is Niall Herriot.
Called Swing of the Pendulum. Now, it was written back in the 90s, early 90s, and as an attempt at a poem, it's fairly shite, like, you know. I dredged it up because it has some relevances to what's going on today. The Swing of the Pendulum. Make love, not war. A foolish paradigm in part in the swinging 60s, but only in its reckless abandon. What came later with the swing of the pendulum? Make war, make fortunes. They go well together. Make it to the top, no matter how many faces you stand on. The on-your-bike philosophy of Thatcher's non-society. And the punk said, fuck that, Maggie. And yet a strange nostalgia lingers for that decade that this generation never heard of. Only heard of. With their second-hand Beatles and Stones discs and Jim Morrison posters. And the idea that booze can be kind of heavy but grass is cool, and a fascination with things Eastern and the earth wisdom of the usurped, copper-skinned people of Turtle Island. So will the pendulum swing back? Will a new multiracial tribe foreseen by Hopi shamans grow in numbers, learn the healing arts, become the seed people for the start of the sixth great Mayan cycle? Will this pre-millennial generation look within to find the spirit that moves the cosmos? Will they respond in time to the pain of Mother Earth? When you look at the bizarre signs, you'd think she is warning us. Crop patterns and intricate mandalas, as if to say, hoaxes they may be, but just have a look at this. Lights in the sky that shoot off at speeds and angles quite unknown to science, or simply disappear as if into another dimension. Strange Eastern mystical events that lure the rationalists among us to explore the greater reality. Appearances of Mother Mary, archetypal nurturer of Jesus and humanity. Are these all just signs of the times that vary with our many different worldviews? Will this generation begin to see the emptiness of addictions, the beauty of recovery, the joy of the path of the peaceful warrior before their elders, not as wise or as loving as elders should be, bring the temple down around us? Thanks.
That was great, man. Next is Kieran McCurtain.
How's it going? I didn't know if Ben plugged this a while ago, but he didn't. I'm plugging him now.
I should have.
Ben's actually playing a gig on Sunday.
No,
did
no,
he ever told you about? Ben actually won't be there. A gig on Sunday. We have a... basically in Ramsey, starting 8 o'clock. The Strive Live is on, which is the official launch of a show that we're putting on. I'm taking to Waterford and back to Cork and up to Dublin. And in the springtime, and there's a good few of our own playing at it, and saying some words, playing some music, having a laugh. So it'd be good to see you all there, if you're not doing anything outside of you. It's called The Strive Live, if you're looking for it. This is a poem called Irreplaceable, and it's for the Margaret. You have entered great halls and safe chambers of hearts that hold your absence with the same grace that held your presence, awash with loss, dictates of the minds you've built, supported by years of hard choices made with courage, sending your young for the messages, teaching them how to handle news, or thick shouts to the back seat of a full car rolling through snow-lined streets to a home so far away from home, to a home where the sounds of your sweet voice have shaped the walls, where the work of your hands have come to answer the calls of rumbling stomachs and crying voices, so they may know the satisfaction of silence. To create space in the minds of the growing, given license to look to the future with a focused stare. You all and me, sister, brother, cousin, we are going there. Let us take the time to prepare. Hours afforded us by hours of labor and love now complete. Prepare your face to smile at the faces that you meet. Soften the skin of your hands to hold hardened hearts with warmth. Look deep between the bits and pieces of your palms. See the lifelines forged for you to fulfill. Warm the chords of your voice so messages of hope and courage resonate in the ears it occupies. You all and me, sister, brother, cousin, father, mother, we are going there together, with hearts full, grieving and generous, to face the future with actions in accordance with a certain honor that you held us to. Good night, Queen of the Loaning, heart of the heart. In the morning, we'll start the strive to do more than just survive. For you are irreplaceable, and you are ever alive.
Thank you, Ciarán. And Strive's event in the Roundy on Sunday evening is well worth going to. There's loads of good poets reading and good band playing. I'd be there if I could as well. Next up is Olad Likena? It's very hard to read.
It looks like Stan Knott, but with bad handwriting.
No, it's definitely not Stan Knott. Well, if it is, he was very drunk when he. Okay. Olad Likena, that's all I can.
Yeah.
Okay. Edward O'Byrne.
No.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Hi everyone, it's my first time here. Please know it's a bit out there. And obviously I have to hold the drink in my hand because it's part of it. So, and it includes some language, so I hope nobody minds.
Fuck off.
You know, it makes my stomach sick when I see these little children, see these beautiful women and think of the fucking world we live in. It is not funny when you are not free. Millions of sheep cornered by selfish wolves throughout history. I look to my dreams, but watch them fade away, like memories and loved ones, the scars will forever remain. I'm trapped with my soul, but in your mind you can be free. So these skeletons I harbor are my favorite company. I feel this weight pushing down on top of me, and you can see how it affects me in these words that I speak. First you'll think it's funny, next it'll drive you mad, then finally it'll make you so angry you will wish me bad. But that's life, ain't it? And you'll think she's a bitch until you're 6 feet deep and she's a narcissist. And then you'll be drowning in years of regret until you silently choke and die. Because you can't fucking hold your breath. Have you ever listened to raindrops hit the shattered ground? A distant echo will ring out to that familiar sound. So now just think for a second about children dying, and you won't fucking realize it's all political corruption and violence. It is so daunting when I feel life itself, so I'll poison my body to feel like someone else. And since you can't see it, I'll show you a poet's hell. I'll paint you a real vivid picture with me, too great still, described oh so well, like the next scene of my gruesome tale. Described this so well, like the next scene of my gruesome tale. This world may build my coffin, but it will not strike the final nail. So if you expect me to go out fighting, I'll do more than just flail. These words are about my thoughts aboard a ship already set sail. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well done. Right, so that's the end of the night.
There should be
one
more Madeline.
Oh,
that might be Madeline.
Madeline. Oh. I think maybe that said Madeline, yeah.
That was the name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it looks like a no. It looked like.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. Madeline.
Oh, yeah. So, as my eyes say, spend a lot of time in bed. I need 10 hours sleep, so that makes the rest of life very busy or not. And so, this came from one morning, just I had a mirror on the windowsill. That's all. The unlocked house. Mirror, you lie flat on your back. The windowsill, your gloss hard bed. Gulls and magpies wander the sky, clutter and clear your unlocked house. Clouds visit you, sunlight tickles, the dusk riddles and tells stories. Patient lover, you wake and dream my tomorrow's face and weather. Thank you.